Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Here we go, Night of the Living Dreads podcast here in the Insane Asylum. I'm Otis B. Dreads. We have Mrs. Dreads here. How are you, Mrs. Dreads? I guess I ought to turn your fucking mic on, huh?
That would help.
That would help. You're good. All right, awesome. It's been hotter than hell. I mean, it's hot everywhere right now. But so maybe I'm just a big baby. Some places, I've seen some patients who, live out in, like, Arizona, more out in the West, man, you know, talking about 115 fucking degrees, mm-hmm. You know? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, you guys won't be able to, obviously, hear. you'll be able to hear, but right now, as we're recording, We are actually doing this live on Facebook. Thought it'd be kind of cool. And some patients are, you know, they're going to get a chance to hear the, you know, episode that normally drops on Wednesday and get to hear it tonight. So it probably, just keep in mind if you missed it. But the live recording, I'm sure, will be up in the announcements over there at the Night of Living Dreads Facebook group, so you'll be able to check it out. But it's always more fun, I think, to kind of be here at the time that it's happening. You know, they'll rewatch it. You can't really chat live when you rewatch it,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. we are we're going to be talking about tonight. I mentioned it was episode 77, didn't I? Did I?
Yes.
Okay. All right, just making sure. NightOfTheLivingDreads.com is where you can listen to this and all other episodes. And of course, if you're a patient here in the Insane Asylum, Night of Living Dreads Facebook group, then you can always, catch it there. As well as over on our good friend Don Skirl, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown, over there at Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls. Mm-hmm. We want to wish him well. He's kind of down with a bad back. Doctor says he needs a bacchiotomy. he's got a bad back. He's got some back issues and... You kind of know what that's like. You know, a lot of us probably know what it's mm-hmm. like to have a fucking bum back, but his is pretty bad, and he's kind of down right now. So keep old Don, aka Chiller, in your fucking thoughts. He'll be back soon enough once he gets over this back. But like I said, you can catch the podcast over there as well. Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls. And, of course, we have a page, too, so you mm-hmm. can check that out over there. I'll post them over there as well. So, Stitcher and Spotify. I almost wanted to say Shudder.
I don't even know what I was thinking.
You know, the horror, that's actually a pretty good little network thing.
Yeah, for scary movies?
Yeah, it's not bad. Found a lot of movies that... I just never heard of. Mm. They got a lot. If you're big into the foreign horror, type movies.
They got
a lot of those, and some of them are brutal as fuck. I mean, they really are. So that's pretty cool. I'm sure a lot of the dreadheads have Shudder. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Anyway. So we're going to be talking about Colonel Russell Williams. Okay, he's an Air Force guy. I mean, Air Force guy. I mean, way up there, mm-hmm. Air Force guy. Colonel, I mean, he ran one of the largest Air Force bases in Canada. We'll get into all the details. But he also has a fetish for sexy lingerie and underwears. And
pretty
bras.
Much anything, though.
And yeah.
Anything to do with women.
Yeah. Hold on to that one. Hold your tongue, Mrs. Dredge. We'll get to that one. This is a crazy, crazy story. When I first started getting into it, it's like, okay, well, this is just, you know, somebody who is respected in the military, and okay, he did some bad shit. No, but it gets weirder from there. I mean, it gets so much weirder. It goes down a very, very weird hole, and but we'll get into that. Of course, I like to have, you know, a little bit of fun, get loosened up a little bit. Here's an article that he came across. This is from allthatsinteresting.com. Meet the Mongolian death worm. This cryptid, okay, this is a cryptid. I know we got a lot of fans of, you know, the cryptids in the insane asylum. The cryptid is armed with spikes, venom, and electric shocks.
Wow.
Wow is right. it reminded me of this little ditty back in 1990. Perfection. See who knows
a
this one.
Outpost in the middle of nowhere.
You know how close I am to leaving this place right now? How close?
Maybe that's why Val and Earl.
Who is it? Hey, Bank, is anybody here?
Decided to leave town.
Know what trailer this is?
Hey, hold up. That's Edgar Deans.
They just picked the wrong day to do it.
Jeez. You guys better get the hell out of here. There's a killer on the loose.
It's been a while since I've seen this.
Could be doing it.
Is that a snake?
I'll give you boys $5 for this.
20.
Horror comedy.
That's how they get you. They're under the ground.
Hey.
What the hell are those things? How could they eat a whole station wagon?
But where do they come from?
Out of dark space. No way these are local boys.
Alright. I just lost my damn page. There we go. Yeah, that was that was Tremors, and that's what this fucking, you know, Mongolian death worm, you know, kind of reminded me of, you know, fucking Tremors. Let us dive into this, because you kind of like this, don't you? You like these things, don't you, Joni?
Disgusting.
No, it ain't. Though it's never been photographed, people keep reporting sightings of a 5-foot death worm lurking in the Gobi Desert. What do you think about that?
Wow.
Yeah. according to sightings, the Mongolian death worm is a long sausage-like sandworm, dark red in color, with spikes jutting out of both ends of its shapeless body. That sounds like things that nightmares are fucking made of.
Yeah, that's gross.
I mean, that's a very, very fucking descriptive description.
Yeah.
I don't know. Using venomous spit strong enough to corrode metal. What's this fucking thing eat? Or electric shocks powerful enough to kill an adult human.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. These alleged deadly worms are said to live below the sands of the Gobi Desert. This is like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And the first thing it reminded me of was Tremors. It is very similar.
I just wondered, there was one in Beetlejuice, too.
You know what? There could have been. Didn't he turn into one? A big snake-like mm-hmm. thing? Okay. Yeah, probably was. Legends, circulate freely about these monstrous worms, but no one has ever come forward with proof of seeing them firsthand. This is the true story behind the rumored Mongolian death worm. This thing is, wow. Yeah. I mean, it is I'm not going to go through all of this, but good Lord.
But then they said that there's a worm that's actually...
Right, yeah, right there. The giant beach worm of Australia is an example of a sand-dwelling worm species. And you, of course, I'm going to have this article in the description for, you know, in the podcast. So you have to scroll down. It's, you know, towards the end of the, article.
That's gross. It's all gross.
It is. You can hear, but
do they have feet?
No music or nothing. What? Oh, you couldn't hear music? What? I don't know. Yeah, they look like little fucking feet, don't they?
Yeah.
That is weird. It's very strange. How'd you like to run across one of those?
It'd be gross.
It would be gross, wouldn't it?
I said everything's just for some odd reason gross. I can't think of any better word to use.
Nope, you really can't. Yeah, that's it. So, there you go. Mongolian death worm. I mean, how could you not, you know, talk about a Mongolian death worm that lives underneath, you know, it's 5 foot long and lives in the Gobi Desert on a podcast like this?
Yeah, underneath the sand.
Underneath the fucking sand.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. All right, we're going to... going to take a quick minute or two break, give a little shout out to one of our favorite places to go to and buy shit from.
Yep.
True Crime 7. A little shout out to them. We'll be back. We're going to talk about Sir Russell Williams. No relation. If you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. That's right, truecrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on orders, $75 and up, 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows, and if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to truecrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, truecrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you, and remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered. A tagline just cracks me up. That's theirs. I mean, that was just something that they had going for them. Don't get murdered. It's great. At the time, I don't think they had their .com page up.
Right.
I've been posting a lot of things, reposting stuff that they post over there in the group. So they have a .com now. So truecrime7.com. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff. You know another cool place, and I just started getting familiar, you know, with their online store as well, as it's a physical store out in Nevada called Nightmare Toys.
Yeah.
And
is that some really neat stuff in it?
Yeah. I mean, looks like really, really good. Selection. I mean, just all they're getting a lot of like the newest, Necco. Is that how you say it? Necco,
the Funkos.
Would you call me
the Funko dolls?
What you potty mouth? No,
is that what you're talking
about? No, the like the fucking action figures.
Oh, I don't know what they're called.
You know what I mean? There's a Necco, whatever. But they get a lot of the newer shit in. And I just recently became friends, I think, with the owner of the that store out in Nevada. And actually, this Saturday, if you're in Nevada, if you go to Nightmare Toys on Facebook, you could probably find out where in Nevada. But if you're in that area, Saturday, Mr. Kane Hodder is going to be there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, he's going to be there to help celebrate the grand opening of this this particular store. They have an online store. A lot of people fucking scared to go out in the public. So, I think a lot of these online, stores and online deals are probably going to, take off a little bit.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, they're pretty cool. Check them out as well, if you want. I suggest it.
Yeah.
All right. Russell Williams. Actually born David Russell Williams. In 1963, so that makes him 57 now. Mm-hmm. And he was a British-born Canadian convicted murderer.
Yep.
Former colonel. You don't hear about that whole. That's why this was kind of intriguing to me. I was just hoping that it wasn't going to be like you're just your stereotypical. I was hoping it had a little dash of weird. Or a lot of dash of weird. And
he's
was
got a lot of dash
yeah,
of weird.
I was not disappointed to say the least. But he is a colonel in the Canadian Forces and from 2009 until his arrest February of 2010, Williams commanded CFB Trenton.
Yep.
Canada's largest military air force base. And so he was up there.
Yeah,
I mean he wasn't down on the fucking totem pole at all. I mean, he had a pretty illustrious career. I mean, he was flying, people like Queen Elizabeth, the second, Prince Philip. He flown the Canadian Forces VIP aircraft. So anytime any dignitaries or any something like that, somebody of some importance. Military, whatever, prime ministers. He did it all. He flew them motherfuckers.
Right.
Their lives were in his hands. So he was very much, respected, and he had a lot of fucking responsibility.
Yeah.
And all, apparently, after he saw Top Gun.
Yeah, that's what prompted him to want to be who he was.
Can't make this up. See, it's already getting weird. You got a grown man who watches Top Gun, all of a sudden he's gonna mimic. And his friends thought, because he had a pretty bad breakup right before that. It was because he's only been married the one time. Right?
Yeah, this was like a high school girlfriend.
It's a girlfriend or something. And I think it was like after they graduated, because he was always really good in fucking school, and and he has his breakup. And kind of bothered him a little bit. And he decides all of a sudden, at the drop of a dime, I'm gonna fucking be an Air Force pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched Top Gun. I think I can do this and buzz the fucking tower and get the girl back, I'll be the need for speed.
Yeah.
I feel the need for tweed. You guys,
that's what he fought it for.
Right? You guys will understand that here coming up. Yeah, he just decides, he's going to do that. Kind of threw his friends for a fucking loop. They're like, where this is coming out of fucking left field? Are you now? Apparently, he knew the movie word for word.
Mm-hmm.
He was just, he just loved that shit.
And he excelled at it, though. He
did. That's the thing. For something just, you just wake up one morning, he's like, all of a sudden, I think I'm going to be a fucking, colonel in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Yep. Who the fuck does that? This guy. Let's get into some of the, wow. Some of the offenses here, what they found out in this investigation, it It showed the confession, showed that he had been breaking into 82 women's houses to steal underwear, including little girls.
Yeah, of 12-year-old.
12-year-old. Yeah, I think that was the youngest I heard. There was a 12 and then a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. But these were not adults, okay? Later escalating to sexual assault, 2 counts of rape and murder.
Yep.
So you have, you know, 82 counts of breaking and entering, and then 2 counts of rape and fucking murder. All right? And he was formally charged by the Ontario Provincial, whatever. We call it OPP. That's what they call it. OPP. Yeah, you down with me? Pursuant to the criminal code, 2 counts of first-degree murder, 2 counts of forcible confinement, 2 counts of breaking and entering, and sexual assault. Another 82 charges relating to breaking and entering were later added. So he doesn't have a very good future now.
No. But he still gets paid.
He does. That's the fucking thing. It was something like a pension.
60,000 a year.
Yeah, he could get up to 60,000 a fucking year. All while he's in prison. Just sitting in prison, collecting, stacking, making it rain.
I wonder if that would go to maybe the families, because you know he owes restitution.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure a lot of that probably would.
Or to his wife.
Yeah, well.
Soon to be ex-wife.
Yeah. She didn't want nothing to do with that. So, they said that he wasn't really, you know, a bad fucking kid. He was kind of, you know, as a teenager, you know, he was kind of like, they call him Sarge or something like that. That was like a nickname. They called him Sarge when actually he grew up and become a colonel. he took and, you know, he'd be, you know, very like, okay, you're going to do this, handing out fucking chores to people, you know, almost being lightweight, annoying, and obnoxious, you know, just, and it's just how he was. He was, you know, very militant in a way. You know, nothing really, you know, all that big. I mean, big deal. We don't need to get into, I don't think, really his military service. The fact that he was a fucking colonel. He was flying around, you know, Queen Elizabeth.
Right.
All right. I think that says enough about his military, you know, service and what he's accomplished in the military. Now, here's the thing. This is really what opened it up, because they were having some missing, you know, girls in this one area. What was it? Cove. What was the name of that place?
Cozy Cove.
Where, how funny is that, Cozy Cove?
That's where a lot of the break-ins was happening, too.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And they all seemed to be within, like, a mile or two radius of his fucking house, including his next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
Now, the one, they didn't really know about all of this, you know, at the time. They didn't know it was fucking him.
No, because they were blaming it on somebody called...
It was his neighbor.
The Tweed Creeper.
Yeah, his neighbor.
Yeah, they thought he was the Tweed Creeper.
You having trouble saying that?
Yeah.
His neighbor there, he was putting the, bodies out on his neighbor's property. And what would happen is, you know, that's how they started, you know, talking about his neighbor, because they just found some suspicious shit, okay, on his neighbor's property that was apparently put there by Russell.
Right.
And so, well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit. What really got this investigation kind of pointing in all these other, you know, cases of, you know, missing girls, you know, alleged rape. He didn't always just rape and kill. He did.
Most of it wasn't, because he didn't kill a whole lot.
Right. It was only 2 or 3.
Yeah, but he did stupid shit.
Okay. Yes, he did. The case of Jessica Lloyd, she went missing. It raised suspicions with her family. I think her brother went to, you know, check on her. She ends up missing. from her house. Mm-hmm. Was her house in Tweed? I don't remember if her house was in Tweed or if he took her to Tweed.
No, he took her to Tweed.
Tweed is a, it's like a, what, almost like a vacation house or something?
Yeah. And he would go and stay, too, if he was stationed up that way.
Right, yeah. If he was stationed and had to be, you know, at that particular base or whatnot, he'd go up there and, you know, stay there. And so that would, so they found her. They found Jessica, okay? Well, later on. But here's the thing. Here's the kicker. There happened to be, I think it was kind of late one night, this just, you know, random fucking car. These two guys, I think it was two cousins, you know, were, you know, delivering some shit in their truck.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just like a pickup or something. Had been dry, you know, going down the, you know, the road, goes right past Jessica Lloyd's place. And off by Jessica Lloyd's house, there's, you know, a big field. There's a lot of open area in this part,
yeah,
you know, of Canada. So, you know, it's not like downtown, you know, in the city or anything. So, and off in the distance, what's seemingly in the middle of fucking nowhere, not exactly, you couldn't say, wow, that's, oh, that car's there for that house. The,
right.
The closest house was Jessica Lloyd's house, but it was so far off, it didn't even look like the two were supposed to be there, you know, like what the truck was there for the house. So it kind of raised a little fucking suspicion with this guy. He said, oh, it gave me shivers up my up my spine. Because yeah, I didn't know what to think. I just knew something was bad. This truck sitting off, you know, Ford is a Nissan Pathfinder. And so he gets a hold of the police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the police figure out, well, this is Jessica Lloyd's house. Okay. They find tire tracks.
Right.
They also find imprints. Yeah, from his boots. Well, here's the thing. The fact that it was cold from the crime scene, or from the photos that I've seen of the actual imprint of the tire and the boot, it looked like it was cold. There was some snow on the ground, so that kind of, you know, it almost makes a really good cast, you know.
Right.
It kind of holds it because it's frozen. You know, mm-hmm. Shit's hard, you know. Okay. Imagine if it was like in the summertime. Okay, you got an imprint, but what if it fucking rains and it washes that away?
Right.
You know, so it kind of worked to the investigators and the detectives, you know, favor to have it really, really, you know, cold like that.
Right.
So yeah, they find these imprints, all right, and all of a sudden they start tracking shit down, and they start looking, I guess, doing some hardcore detective work, and they figured out that they're gonna call in Russell Williams, but they're gonna get him under, you know, under the pretense that they're going to ask him questions about his neighbor.
Yeah.
Making him think, okay, I'm going to rat my neighbor out. Maybe I can get away with this because they really think, you know, my neighbor did it.
Yep.
So he thinks he's got it fucking made. Not long into that, this detective, he takes and fucking breaks him.
Yeah.
He fucking breaks him.
It didn't take him long either.
No, it did. What, just maybe an hour? An hour into it, I believe. This is like a 3-4, I think, total. I've watched, you know, ones that were 2 hours and
it's
40
9
minutes.
Hours.
Yeah, the whole thing is a 9-hour deal. So I think it only took, you know, with the first hour or so, because you watch the one that's 2.5 hours long, and halfway through it, he's already starting to confess.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and it's actually pretty interesting, you know, to take and watch, really.
I think it is, too, because he's sly.
He goes in there, and you just start watching the posture. He's all relaxed, kick back. He's all smiling. You know,
Nonchalant,
just kind of laughing, and you know, it's it's funny actually, because then when he knows the shit's about to hit the fan, he has nowhere to go.
Yep.
At this point, everything changes. At that point, he's like, he looks down a lot, doesn't make a whole lot of eye contact.
Yeah.
He does the whole crossing of the arms, which, you know, a lot of psychologists and whatever, you know, they whatever. You know, they've analyzed this as, okay, he's kind of closing up a little bit. He's getting a little defensive. So,
he's building his defenses.
He's building his defenses up, so he's crossing his arm. He's not all relaxed and everything. And you literally, our buddy Bobby, he was telling me about this, and you know, he had stopped over here, you know, when we had one of our visitor days, and you know, I told him, I was like, man, I'm struggling trying to come up with, you know, something really good and interesting to talk about this week. The podcast, and he brought, I think one of the first people he brought up was this Russell Williams,
right?
And he was like, you can literally watch in this interrogation video, I mean, it's absolutely brilliant on the part of the detective and how he did this.
Yeah, because he drew him out quick.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he should write a book. That should be like one of those training video, you know. This is how you do it. Right here, okay. He got him in like an hour. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What was I saying? I went completely off track. I was just babbling at that point.
But yeah, because he was worried that his wife was going to be affected by it.
Yeah.
If you're so worried that your wife's going to be affected by it, why do it?
Yeah. Right. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, it might bother your wife? You're running around, you know, raping and stealing, breaking in and stealing all the, you know, women in the neighborhood's underwear.
But he was stealing like,
and bras,
underwears, bras, some of them dresses,
lingeries.
Yeah, lingeries. It's just
lingeries.
There's no S.
Fucking speech Nazi.
It's funny to hear you call it lingerie.
Shut up. I'll mute you. Lingerie.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Now that gets a little fucking weird. You want to talk about that? How do you think? I mean, just a woman's point of view.
I just thought it was funny.
How do you think that he looked? Did he do any of these outfits justice?
No, they're bad. It's funny. It's comical. It's what it is.
Especially
since a couple, and I don't even think a couple of them are lingerie. I think a couple of them are swimsuits.
I think a couple of them. Like, yeah. Oh my god!
I didn't see him. He's got a bikini on.
He does, Jesus. And you know what? Right here on the fly, and this is what makes it kind of fun. This is why, you know, when you'll be able to watch this, you know, of course, later, when we're done. But you know, I can do shit like this on the fly. Let's see. I'm gonna see if I can find some pictures for those there we go. Russell Williams photos. Find some photos for the.
That's all they bring up of him.
I know, but oh look, this.
See,
one.
That's a bikini. That's not.
I
that's
know.
Not.
That's a good one. Wait till you ladies see this. Oh my goodness. This right here.
It's horrible.
I think I'm doing this right. Hold on. This is absolutely. This is great. Now, see, this may not make good listening when you're listening tomorrow and you're just listening to the audio. That's why I'm going to leave.
You'll leave in the comments?
We're going to leave the, hopefully this works. Oh, paste, dummy.
It's like I can't paste that photo.
It probably won't. I don't fucking blame it.
I have to do those. Go to Google and type his name in, and it pulls everything up.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop this. Here you go. Bam. It's going to be a long one.
Oh, Jesus.
This is, what a delay here that we got going on. Yeah, I knew I was going to get sidetracked.
You should have better.
As soon as we got to this part, this is probably like one of those links that's like what will take up the entire fucking chat.
Yeah.
Watch, here we go. I apologize if that's what's going to happen. Bam! Oh. Get you some of that.
Oh, yeah. It's a long one.
Yeah, it's a big one. There you go. That's not too bad, I guess. There you go. If you want a good laugh, you want to play along with us in the chat room as we laugh at Russell Williams.
I said I could just...
doing his little
for those that are listening later, just go to Google. Google's name in there. It'll pull up all the insanity.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. Put in Russell Williams photos.
Yep.
And you will get a list for those that are in the chat room. Now, while we're recording, watching us fail and go down the toilet live. You can look at that now.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait to throw up. So it's the detective staff sergeant Jim Smith or mm-hmm. Smythe. Would you pronounce Smith. That Smythe or Smith? Smith? It was Smythe would be with an E, mm-hmm. right? Okay, Jim Smith. Says the interview started at 3 p.m. and by 7:45, it's about 4 hours later, almost 5 hours later, Williams was describing his crimes.
So we were a little off.
We were, a little off. It said interrogation lasted approximately 10 hours. In his confession, Williams gave details of his crimes, including the sexual assaults in Tweed. He's smoking in Tweeds. and 82 break-ins and thefts. Some of them occurred in Ottawa homes within walking distance of his Orleans, Ontario home where he lived with his wife. The break-ins and thefts occurred in Belleville and in Tweed. He's smoking in Tweed. The couple had a cottage. Had that cottage, got that back in 2004.
Well, here's the thing, though, too, is... You think with the whole break-ins and all he was stealing was, like, undergarments and lingerie and dresses and pajamas. Yeah. He's not just taking one or two things of these people. He's taking it all.
Yes, all. He's not just taking, like some, psychopaths may do. Some serial killers, they may take one or two, little pieces. I smoked a little piece of joint with you. Tweed. they may only take one or two pieces. He was literally
cleaning their drawers.
Oh, what was the story that the 15-year-old they came back or they went to the vacation or mm-hmm. something, and the girl's like, "Mom, all my underwear is gone."
Yeah, and then come to find out, it was all her underwear, her bras.
Dresses,
shoes.
Oh my God!
Pictures. Yeah. He went through their photo albums and took pictures out of her.
Didn't do anything to the girl.
No, just stole her shit.
Just took
all her intimates.
Wow. And that's the thing with them. It was like some of these break-ins resulted horribly, like it did for Jessica.
Yeah.
That ended horribly.
Some are just funny.
Some of them, he didn't even do anything. I mean, the one woman that he had, he had tied up, too tight. She was complaining about that. He loosened her thing. He blindfolded. He patted her on the head. He got her some aspirin because she had a headache. He apologized for hitting her so fucking hard. Then he takes a knife and cuts the clothes that she had on off.
Yeah.
She said in one swipe. Okay, well, maybe it was a sharp fucking knife. But still, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It just cuts it off, gone. And she asked, okay, are you going to rape me? He said no. And he kept his fucking promise. She said all of a sudden that she could you know, see, you know, the flashes of a camera going off, but yeah. she was blindfolded. So, you know, she's, you know, what was he doing? Maybe that was when he was doing his little posing, which is what you'll see if you're in the chat.
Or he was taking pictures of her.
Or he could have been taking, yes, because he did do that on an occasion. He would tie the victim up. I think Jessica, did he do some shit like that to
her? I don't
know
if he took pictures of her.
Yeah, I know that, you know, she was basically, you know, just, you know, tortured,
yeah.
you know, raped multiple times, you know, tortured. And that, she only lasted about 24 hours after mm-hmm. her contact with Russell. It was 24 hours later, she was dead. He said, I think she's the one that he said, he took tape, put it over her mouth and tape over her nose and held it there until she suffocated.
Wow.
Or was she, no, she was the one he hit with a fucking flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That,
he was the one that.
Jessica was that one. See, I'm getting his victims mixed up now.
Yeah, he said he didn't expect that he'd hit her that hard.
Right. Said the, it did a lot more damage, that pesky flashlight, than, you know, he thought her fucking skull would hold up a little better now.
Yeah. He didn't think it would cave in.
Right. And he said it did. One whack.
Yep.
So, yeah, he had little problems there. So. So he had, what was it, then two counts?
A murder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just the two counts. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that was Jessica.
And,
Do we have her, do we have her name down
yes.
there?
Yes.
What is it? Give me 1 second. See, this is what I call watching the magic
Mary.
Happen. Mary?
Mary Frances Como.
Oh, yeah, she was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a colleague.
Yep.
And
he killed her at home.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy shit. What else you got for us down there? You got anything for us? Oh, you know what? Oh, you know what we need to talk about?
What?
his early days in jail.
Oh, yeah. What, like the first month he was in there or something?
Yeah.
He tried to kill himself?
But the method and how
oh,
he
yeah.
tried to do it is just remarkable. Tell us about that, Mrs. Dreads. I would have never thought of this.
It was kind of clever.
I thought so, anyway.
What, he took a toilet paper roll?
Yeah. The,
empty toilet paper roll and
right,
shoved it down his own throat?
Yeah. Who the fuck does that? I mean, really, shoving toilet paper to cut off his air or something?
I think so. I think he was planning on choking himself.
Yeah. By eating a toilet paper roll, an empty toilet paper roll?
And then he tried to shove the whole thing down there one time.
Oh, my God. This fucking guy.
Yeah. No wonder he looks like that.
Oh, my God. I mean, I can't get over these photos. I really can. Yeah, this is absolutely, I mean, this is brutal. Fucking brutal.
In charge of all those people.
Yeah.
And then was come home and wear 12-year-old girls' bathing suits.
Look, oh, I know. I'm getting so sidetracked at this point. This is the most horrendous shit that I've ever seen.
Maybe we got him in one pieces.
Right. Who's taking the pictures? Is it on like a timer?
I bet it is.
It's
I would
be.
Hope so.
Yeah. He's making his victims take a picture of him?
Ew.
Wouldn't that be fucking creepy? That's about the only thing I think we're missing from this fucking guy. One of the creepiest things that I think I heard in that entire interrogation was when he pretty much broke him. Okay, he knew he was had. Okay, and the reason he knew he was had because for one, trying to look like he was innocent, he complied with the detective when the detective asked okay, would you help us
yeah.
eliminate you basically from our investigation by means? And he was like, yeah, sure. How can I help? How can I help? Trying to be that guy. This is a very prestigious colonel. And he's going to be that stand-up fucking guy. And You know, Detective Smith is like, well, you know, what we'd like you to do is, you know, I don't know, maybe some DNA test, maybe a, you know, a boot imprint, you know,
yeah,
to see, you know, okay, can we just clear you of this once and for all, you know, keep you, you know, as not a suspect or whatever. Sure, absolutely. Absolutely, he says. When they asked him about his fucking shoe, he happened to look down as soon as he said that. Guess what? He was wearing the same exact fucking boot that he wore the night that he kidnapped and tortured and repeatedly raped Jessica Lloyd. The same fucking boots he wears to a fucking... Oh.
Yeah, and then the truck lock. Tires.
Yeah.
He had talked about how he got them replaced, but he got them replaced with the exact same tires.
Right.
I mean, but they say all treads different. But
yeah, it could be. But this one matched his absolutely perfectly.
Right.
And the funny thing is, you know, when you start watching the decline of Williams as this goes on, as this, you know, interrogation goes on, you know, you can just, they don't know. He doesn't know that they have all this shit on them.
Right.
They have been working and looking at Williams for like 2 weeks prior to that. Okay. They have been, you know, looking at him as a serious suspect, okay. Because it was so close to him.
Right.
You know, it can't just be his neighbor. What if it was you?
Right.
You know, so I think they kind of had that, you know, type attitude. So they had been investigating him. They just lied to get him in there. But he was, you know, scared fucking shitless, man. No wonder he tried to choke himself with an empty toilet paper roll. You could just see, man. I'm watching this, you know, and I'm like putting myself into that, you know, situation.
Wanted to be him?
Yeah, as much as I could, just to try and really feel what he's feeling. And, you know, can you think of the amount of despair at that particular time that you would have thinking, my life as I know it is over.
Yeah.
I had such a great career. I had, you know, 2-3 houses.
Yep.
I mean, everything was going for me. And all of a sudden, I get the urge to wear women's underwear and rape people and... break and entering. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, this good life just wasn't good enough.
Right.
I need some transvestite shit in my life.
Something.
He
was a little more than transvestite.
Yeah. So it was a little odd, you know, to say the fucking least.
Yep.
So, Mrs. Dreads, I need to ask you to favor, I need you to grab your charger for me.
Jeez.
Plug me in over there. And, or else I'm going to lose these good people. All one of them. But that's all right. That's all right. Yeah. Still going to have the, obviously the audio version. We're almost to the end of our ropes anyway with Russell. As soon as Mrs. Dreads plugs me in here. Pretty interesting documentaries that are out there. You can watch a program called The Fifth Estate. They've done a couple pretty good documentary, 45 minutes to an hour type. They're pretty interesting. If anybody is likes, you know, to watch interrogations and things like that, one of the ones I like is it's called Jim Can't Swim, JCS Psychology, and this guy, you know, will watch and study these interrogations and give you, you know, from a psychological standpoint, you know, and like what a psychologist is saying. And he broke this one down. I see him every once in a while doing, you know, when he does these, you know, some of them can be kind of long. The one he did on Russell Williams, mm-hmm. pretty good. It's about an hour long because he really gets into detail and he really starts, you know, letting you know, okay, when this guy does this, this is pretty symbolic of this.
Right.
This is probably what's going through, you know, his fucking mind when he's doing this. His posture, you know, facial expressions, all of that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, he breaks everything down like that.
It's really fucking interesting, and maybe I'll throw it in the group. One last thing, one last victim, and yeah, probably one of the biggest victims of this whole thing. What are you laughing at? I cannot remember the woman's name. Which is probably a good thing.
No, never mind. That's not. Wait a second. I may have it.
You may have it.
Was it something Cook? Cook was her last name.
Oh, okay. Well, she was actually one of the more fortunate, and yet most heartbroken of all of these victims. what had happened to Miss Cook is they come home or something and they notice that you know, there was a little bit of disarray or something in their bedroom, and her nightstand drawers were open.
Yeah.
And she happened to look in there and she noticed there was a few of her personal objects missing.
Well, not yet, because remember she...
No.
They had left or went somewhere else and came back.
Yeah.
And that's when he heard the scream.
And, right. And so, but that was the computer.
Yeah. That's when they came up missing too.
Right. And so the scream could have been about the message on the fucking computer. And here's the creepy thing, though. For one, she's missing dildos. We call this Colonel Russell Investigation Dildo Lady. She is missing her crown jewels of toys.
Is she so distraught?
She is.
She is so upset over it.
I know. But it's like she's on all these documentaries talking about, like, yeah, I'm the dildo woman. I'm the dildo. I'm the one that got all the dildos.
The thing that cracks me up the most is the message says,
yeah,
go ahead, call the police. I want to show them big dildos.
I want to tell the judge.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the judge you have really big dildos.
My thing is she comes out on a documentary talking about it.
Yeah.
Why would it matter if he told the judge?
Right. Well, maybe. So, yeah, at that time.
I mean, would you be considered a liar or fucking delusional if you had a big dildo?
Maybe. They were scared though. They didn't want to go to the fucking police. They didn't call the fucking police. All right. Now she had heard. It said that Williams was probably in their house.
Right.
When he heard them, Cook and her husband talking about, you know, we should call the fucking cops.
Right.
Okay. Then they leave.
Yeah, and come back the next night.
Yeah, and they come back, and on her computer screen, a computer that they say they don't hardly use,
right,
has this message right on the front.
Right.
You know, go to the police, tell the judge about your big dildos. God damn. So we got this guy stealing fucking dildos, right. taking their underwear. Dressing up, he was also known, you know, to, you know, and then frequently, you know, while he's dressing up in their underwear, lying on the beds of his victims, you know, doing the old knuckle shuffle on the piss pump.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Probably while wearing their underwear and bras and fucking shit. laying there and throwing some baby batter all over the place. This guy is a fucking certified wackadoo. Yeah. And to think that, I mean, you hear serial killers, oh, no, man, that's crazy how he led a double life.
Right.
Keeping, no, this is like the extreme. This is from one side of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah.
You know, high prestigious fucking colonel in the Canadian fucking Air Force.
Yep.
And, you know, fucking serial killer, transvestite rapist. He was something. What the fucking, man. So that's why I thought that this story, you know, was pretty interesting. I thought that, you know, you don't hear about these you know, too often.
No.
You know, at least your stories like this.
Yeah, you know, not from somebody being so high
usually
up.
It's a fucking janitor or something with a mental disorder or something.
Well, think about it. Freaking,
he had a mental disorder. That's
Bundy
sure.
was a law student.
Oh, Williams?
Ted Bundy was a law student.
I'll bet Bundy, yeah. It's, yeah, it's crazy. All right, we're about to the end of our fucking ropes, I think.
Into some rope.
At least I am. It was fun.
Yeah.
This guy is, like I said, man, this guy's a real fucking piece of work. I can throw a link in the description.
What, for his pictures?
For for a couple of the, you know, short documentaries. You guys should just do all the legwork yourself.
Yeah, because like I said, his interrogation's on there too.
Yeah,
I don't think it's not the whole 9 hours.
But. No. You get a good chunk of it. The one I watched is two hours
yeah,
and 40 minutes.
That's
so.
Right.
You know, you get a nice little fucking chunk of it, but
it's where all the important stuff is, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, you really get to see, you know, for yourself some of the things that we had talked about as far as, you know, his posture, his body movements, you know, and things of that nature. Before we get out of here, though, I want to thank everyone who did stop into the live chat. It was kind of fun. It was a little bit different experience, knowing that people can fucking see me and I can't pick my nose when I want. Scratch my, never mind.
You can do that in the confines of your own room, sir.
Yes, I will. Don't think I won't. But it was fun. It was fun. And thank everybody who helped, who shared. And, you know, maybe we can, you know, do this again sometimes. Monica has showed up. Hello, Monica. We were actually doing a, I'm going to let Monica know, doing some live podcast recording. This is the new podcast. But unfortunately, dear, you are at the end of it.
Yep.
I do want to mention, though, but before we get out of here, at least on the podcast part, I'll chat for a minute afterwards on the live whatever. But yes, we talked about Colonel Russell Williams this week. Colonel, Canadian Air Force, rapist, serial killer, pervert.
Yeah.
Just all around weird fucking guy.
Yeah, he was.
And that's what we discussed this evening. I did want to talk real quick about a guest we have coming up.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be next week. He's actually one of our first reoccurring. Is that right? Reoccurring? All right. Guest. One Mike Schiff. We had him on quite a while ago. I don't know, maybe about a year or so ago. About a year and a half. And he was making a documentary about the history of metal and horror and how they just seem to go hand in hand. And he was making a documentary Of course, all this COVID happened. So that probably put a halt on, you know, getting some, you know, his interviews. He got some big name interviews. I mean, fucking Alice Cooper, you know, I mean, from the metal side of it, from the horror movie side of it. I mean, he's got some damn good connections.
Rob Zombie.
Zombie's in it. Corey Taylor. I don't know if I just mentioned him. I mean, just all kinds of people. And then, of course, you know, John Carpenter, you know, some of the masterminds of the horror genre to, you know, discuss what is it, this correlation between metal music and horror movies.
Right.
Because it's there. I mean, it's always been there. It's been incorporated into, you know, groups like Slipknot with the weird, creepy mask with, you know, like Alice Cooper and all his antics. So he started doing that, and then you know, he had some bad things happen. Guess he got a little hacked. Yeah, his account was hacked or something.
On Facebook.
Yeah, we're gonna get the details because he's gonna come back and visit us. He says he has some things about this documentary that he cannot wait to talk about, and he wants to do it as soon as possible. So I'm gonna get a hold of him. He wants to talk and touch base later on this week, and so he's gonna be on, Mr. Mike Schiff. Yeah, it's gonna be pretty cool. The trailer, I think it's just simply called The History of Metal and Horror.
I think so. I think that's funny.
I don't think it's nothing fancy. So
it's gonna be good though.
I think it's gonna be real good. I can't wait. He was you know, a great guest. So I can't wait. It's gonna be fun. Whatever. That was all right. All right. Again. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
Welcome.
Wow, we white knuckled it through this fucking thing. All right, episode 40 or 40, gosh. See? 77 in the bag. We got nightlivingdreads.com, Spotify, Stitcher, Night Living Dreads on Facebook, Dreads with no A. Talk to you next week.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.